we would be trained in every good work for your pleasure and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's passage comes from 2 Corinthians 10, and there it is. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. If you could all turn. I do not actually have anything for the screen, so we will be kind of flipping through our Bibles, which is not a bad thing. Today I have actual paper, not just on a screen. And sorry, I'm at that age where my eyes are just kind of so bad. Okay, so 10, 3 through 6. This is NIV, by the way. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments with every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Very interesting. When I read this, I had a lot of questions. Because it just invites a lot of questions. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We know that there are battles, the United States has been in fights, and in fact, almost every country has been in fights continuously for a very long time. Even Belgium has been in Africa fighting for like many years straight. So there are these kind of battles that go on. And when we think about any society, we cannot think about the society without thinking about who their warriors were either. When we think about the early settlers, we think about who bore their arms. When we think about the Wild West, we think about who the armies were. World War II, we go back also in time. We can't think of Rome without thinking about the Roman centurions. We can't think of Greece without the Greek hoplites. So even Old Testament, go to David, who battled Goliath. So this type of battling is just something that is also kind of running parallel with everything else that we do as we live and move and have our being. But the battle that Paul is talking about, he's saying, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. And at that time, they can see how the Romans wage war. But he's saying, we don't do that. Ours is a spiritual battle. And as Christians, brings us to the title of the sermon, Spiritual Battle of the Believer. The spiritual battle of the believer. Like, what is it? And then what is it for? And what good is it ultimately? When Paul talks about strongholds, from what I read, there were kind of forts along Asia Minor in Asia, and from these forts, pirates would head on out, and the pirates would raid merchant vessels. The Romans, in order to protect trade, went to these strongholds that were made with stone and would tear down these strongholds or these forts. So by stone, they would take it down. And Paul, through what I read, it was from a town very close to Kilikia, and Kilikia had these forts. And so I think Paul was able to either see the Romans do it, or if not, at least see the ruins. So that is an image that the Apostle Paul has in his mind about tearing down strongholds. It's something that posed a menace, and when they finally did it, they did it stone by stone. They tore it down until there was just rubble there. So they're going to keep that in mind. So the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. And Paul would have seen maybe some engineering and maybe some physical strength and maybe some battles in front of the fort before the forts were taken. So he's saying, this is not the weapons we fight with. On the contrary, the weapons, they have divine power. Divine power. So what does that mean, divine power? If we look to Ephesians 6:11, and we don't have to turn there necessarily, but as a reminder, Ephesians 6:11 talks about the full armor of God. And what kind of armor is it? He has parallels. There are breastplates, there are helmets, there are greaves, and there's a shield. So we know that there's a belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, feet shod in readiness, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and then we also have the sword of the Spirit. So this gives us an insight into what a spiritual battle looks like. There are analogies, and the spiritual battle is not one with actual weapons. But you notice that the fight that we're in, it is both defensive and offensive, because there is protection in the defense, but we also have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is our offensive weapon. So we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. In keeping with the fact that the weapons and the type of fighting that we do is spiritual, we can narrow down the battlefield. Where is the battlefield? And from here, when he's talking about arguments and pretensions, one of the first places that the battlefield will rage is in the mind. Because he's saying we demolish arguments. So an argument is a statement for some purpose. It's a representation, and it can be known. Of course, if you don't like a certain argument, you don't like a certain idea, you don't like a certain representation, you have a counter-argument. But what he's saying is, there is an argument that we have which demolishes other arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And without trying to hide it, I think it's the truth. We have the truth. If you have the truth, then you'll argue from the truth. The truth will destroy all the pretensions. In the Bible study, which we just had, in 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12, it's talking about the man of lawlessness, but it's talking about his deceptions, his lies. And then in the Bible study, the 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17, it is talking about truth and the contrasting elements of lies and truth. So I believe if you have the truth, your arguments are divine. And the only way we know the truth is to know God, because God is truth. Jesus is the truth. I liken this to like theoretical science versus engineering. In theoretical science, you may use math, and you might try to set up a certain hypothesis, and you know, if you can't test it, it just remains some kind of a hypothesis. But in engineering, which is also, I think, more scientific than science, theoretical science, I mean, a bridge either stands or it falls. There's no in between. You cannot fake a bridge. You cannot fake a structure. It's got to be there. And so I think that's what our spiritual arguments in the mind are, number one, the truth. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So our spiritual battle is spiritual, but it's also internal. How do we make ourselves obedient to Christ? How do we capture every thought to make it to Christ, to make it captive and obedient to Christ? So this is the real trick. We can say through the Holy Spirit, we know, who comforts us and guides us along the way. But this is a long process. I don't think if I asked, let me see a show of hands, who is in perfect obedience to Christ. You know, no, I don't think anybody raised their hand. So this is a lifelong process. So it occurs to me that the spiritual battle is over our lifetimes. It's a theater of war that encompasses from the time we're of age of our own personal responsibility to the day we die. So that's the nature. Where is it fought? It's fought in the mind. But to make it obedient, it has to also be fought in the heart too. So that's another theater of battle, in the heart. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. And this is why I'm also thankful to God that this is a battle that stretches across time, stretches across our lives. Think about this. Those who are obedient and those who are disobedient for a while are in the same barrel. It says, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So this spiritual fight of ours, it's kind of, if we're all in the muck and the mud, how do we get out? Because we're all in the muck and the mud, us and the non-believers. How is it that through time, how is it through our circumstances, how is it through knowing the truth, we distinguish ourselves by being obedient? The obedience being the distinguishing characteristics. Okay. You know, I'm a big believer that Scripture helps us to understand Scripture. So we're going to turn to 2 Kings 6, 8 through 23. And for this one, you might want to flip over because it's a little bit lengthy. 2 Kings 6. Okay, so we're going to start with 15 and we're going to go to 23. I've written 8 to 23. That reading might be a little bit lengthy. The context is the Arameans warring with the king of Judah. Okay, so in 15, and you could read from 8 to later, but that's the context. So when the servant of the man of God got up, and this is Elisha, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. So this is an actual physical battle. But we know that in context of the people of God and people not of God, this is also one of truth versus untruth. This is one of God versus pagan gods and basically Satan. And so this army of the Arameans, of the false gods, have the city surrounded. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Elisha says to the servant, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So in this physical battle, and we cannot separate out the spiritual, what Elisha sees and what the servant sees are two completely different things. The servant just sees them being surrounded, but Elisha sees the armies of God surrounding all. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Now, if we're going to use this to help us understand 2 Corinthians, this blindness is, I think, part of the untruth that are the arguments against God and against faith. And this is the enemy in our spiritual battle, this blindness. You know, we were once blind, but we see. But there are people who are still blind. And in their blindness, they wage a spiritual war. Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Sorry, I said Judah earlier. This is Israel, sorry. Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. And then it continues, so the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. You know, Paul says in the Bible, makes it clear, we were once enemies of God. But while we're yet enemies, God saved us. And so we're like the Arameans who descend down in untruth and in falsity. But then God opens us and opens our eyes from blindness. And now we're able to see. And then when we're captured through Christ. And we now belong to Christ. And all the Aramean army went back to their kingdom. We can take these words also, go to your master, our master being Jesus Christ. So in 2 Corinthians, I see that there is knowledge of God, that there is an opening of our hearts, and that there is now a knowledge and knowing that our master is no longer that of the world, but our master is Jesus himself. And so we lay captive all our thoughts and we make them obedient to Christ. And then, like I said, we're in the same barrel, though, for a time, because this warfare is not just a battle. And so once our obedience is complete, then we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. If we can turn to Matthew 3:12. And actually, we'll go to verse 11, Matthew 3:11. It says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this is John the Baptist speaking. And then he says, his winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I think this also demonstrates what our spiritual battle is like. For a while, the chaff and the wheat are together. And there is a winnowing fork that separates them. And the winnowing fork goes through. And in our lives, I know that God is gracious when he gives us difficult times. God is gracious when he gives us occasions and the context to trust in him more. He gives us time when we have to test our faith. Do we really trust God or do we not trust God? But there's also times like when we're gathered together like this at our church, when we do our Bible study to learn what is the truth, when we hear messages to be challenged by the truth. I believe this, our faithful, steadfast living, is the winnowing that happens to us. So that is the spiritual battle. It's something that lasts a long time, and it's not one that's just one occasion, but it's this lifetime. It is defensive sometimes because we have to wear the armor of God, and it is offensive sometimes. When we pray in Jesus' name, we declare the word to other people. And so while we're in the barrel together, until we have come to full obedience, God threshes us in that separation. But also, I believe, the winnowing fork is more than just our life circumstances spent living in faith. The winnowing fork, ultimately, at the end, and I'm talking eschatology at the end days, the winnowing fork is also us. Because it says in 2 Corinthians that we will also be part of that judgment against those who are disobedient. Let me find the exact phrasing. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So we are also part of our own spiritual battles, obviously, because we're the participant. But we know that there are those who are deceived and remain deceived. There are those who hear the word and who reject the word. There are those who don't submit themselves to the obedience of Christ. And it says, we also participate in that as well. We will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. But thank God, it's once our obedience is complete. So I thank God that He's also very patient, that He has sent His Holy Spirit to work with us. And that as we go through struggles, this is all part of the threshing. So I want everyone to be encouraged. You know, we know that our Christian life is not easy. You know, obviously there are struggles everywhere. Even if you don't believe, you're going through your own struggles and you're struggling alone. And so, you know, there may not be the same hope that we have, and there might be even despair, and a lot of people buy into the lies of Satan, are just utterly controlled by him, like a cow with a nose in its ring, a ring in its nose. But we also go through things. We also have to set schedules. We have to do the Bible studies. We have life come up on us. We have to pray through things. There's people that we know who are sick, and we pray for them, and we may become sick and they pray for us. But because God is with us, and because the Holy Spirit is our comforter, we survive all this. And prayerfully, we get better and better at capturing all our thoughts and giving them to Jesus, that we may return to Jesus, who is our master. And that's what I hope everyone is encouraged with. So it's keep up the good fight, basically, kind of like what Paul says to Timothy in the book of Timothy. So in answering some last questions, and I'm going to tidy all this up. Who is the who in 2 Corinthians? It's us versus them, but mainly it's us. What is the fight? It is internal, and sometimes it can spill to external, but mainly it's internal. Where is this fight? It's in our minds, and it's in our hearts. When is this fight? It's over our lifetime. How do we fight? By laying ourselves captive to Christ. And this is by learning, by praying, but most importantly, repentance and obedience. These are the practices of our fight. Why do we fight? Because God is merciful, and this is how we receive His mercy, and this is how we participate in judgment. but not judgment of ourselves, but judgment of those who've rejected. And so, what does this mean? It means that as we look at each other's struggles, and we share our struggles, and as we go through and we lay down these acts of obedience, it can be said that at the end of time, and this is really why, when we meet Jesus, he can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'm going to end with an illustration, although I was kind of debating whether or not to give it. It has to do with light and the wave-particle duality of light, so forgive me. The question is light a particle or is light a wave? And there were physics experiments that, especially the double slit experiment, that said a photon of light, when it goes through a double slit, will interfere with itself, so that just like a wave pattern, if a wave and a wave are added together, you see it, but then a wave and the opposite will cancel out and you see these interference patterns, right? So a particle also has a wave. I think our life can be encapsulated in this, that there is a characteristic of our life which is like the wave pattern, even though our lives are distinct like a particle. And at the end of days, there will be like a filter. Do we go through because the character of our life has been one of obedience to Christ, or are we stopped because that has not been the character of our life? And I think everyone who really cares and shows their faith, they've got the characteristic. If God is working in your life, that's also part of the characteristic. If you've put on the armor of God, if you're holding the sword of the Spirit, if you're holding on to the truth, if you're rejecting the lies of Satan, if you're struggling but dependent upon God, I believe that is like the waveform that gets you through. Let's pray. Lord, I know that for many, life can feel like a little bit of a grind. And I pray that you would be with them and really console those folks with your love. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would continue in the faith, and that in this spiritual battle, that we would continually, in repentance, subjugate our will and our minds in obedience to you. I pray for your blessings, and I thank you for your love for us, that even starts us on the right path and then is the ultimate destination. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's all rise. There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. There's a table. There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for what you've done. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how.
In the valley, I know you're here with me. Surely your goodness and your mercy follows me. And my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles.
And I believe.
I believe you overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for what you've done. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how.
It may look like
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Father, thank you, and I pray that you would bless each and everyone. Thank you for knowing us by name, knowing our battles. In your name we pray. Amen.